Mike McIntyre will be with us very shortly. Canadian tennis journalist Matchpoint Canada is the podcast.
Nice.
Just realign the teeth. Everything works now.
You got it.
Yeah. And Mike is here. Mike, welcome. How are you today, sir?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. You know, no Canadians left. Kind of frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, to be honest with you, in singles. I mean, we've got Gabby Dabrowski in doubles, so there is that silver lining, I suppose, here in Toronto. But in terms of singles, which is where all the focus is, of course, Bianca going out yesterday, last night in Toronto in three sets. You know, she always finds a way to push it to three sets. And in Montreal today, you know, the disappointing news, of course, is that Félix Auger-Aliassime, who made it to the quarterfinals, the first Quebec-born player to make it to the final eight in Montreal, went out, and he went out with a whimper, unfortunately, 6-1, 6-2. So that one leaves a bitter taste in the mouths of Montreal fans, kind of the equivalent of getting shut out by the Maple Leafs in hockey, I would say.
Oh,
so Mike, yeah, good analogy there for sure. I mean, there's a lot of hope for Félix in that match. He came in favored in a lot of the sports books against Casper Ruud. What did you see there? What can we make of that disappointing ending to what looked like an electric run?
Yeah, first of all, I would have put the match slightly in Casper Ruud's favor, maybe, or at least 50-50. I mean, folks in Canada probably don't know much about him, but he's kind of a rising star on the tour as well, but a little bit more established in terms of the results he's had already. Some big wins at the Masters 1000 level, which is the same as the National Bank Open, so just underneath a Grand Slam. So he's quite an accomplished young player from Norway, which isn't exactly a hotbed of tennis, but then neither again was Canada up until a few years ago. So it's not totally shocking to me. What is shocking is the scoreline, especially with Félix's family and friends in attendance and the whole crowd completely behind him. I'm covering the event here in Toronto, the women's event, so I didn't get to catch much of it, but from what I heard, just didn't have it today. Looked like something was off. I don't know if it was the pressure, perhaps, that he placed on himself, but he's going to be disappointed with this one. This one's going to stay with him for a while, I'd say.
Mike, let's go back to the Toronto version of the National Bank Open and Bianca's week. Were you happy with it? What are the positives there?
Yeah, I was happy with it, to be honest. I mean, she hasn't played a whole ton the last year, and even through the pandemic, she took 6 months off to take care of her mental health, and she's been very vocal about that, done a lot to raise awareness and make that kind of talk acceptable, especially amongst athletes who we all think are invincible. But, you know, at the end of the day, she's a 22-year-old young adult who's trying to figure out life on the road and life with a lot of pressure that came to her really early, obviously, at the 19 U.S. Open when she was the champion. So she's trying to find her game. She had two big wins in Toronto where she was looking good against some pretty tough opponents, to be honest with you. She went down to a 19-year-old player from China who's up-and-coming, Zheng Qingwen, and she's someone that probably, again, people don't know too much about. I'm learning a lot about her as well. But Bianca gave it her all. She says she's in a good place mentally. I think a big result is going to be coming for her. She's too talented a player for it not to come back.
So, Mike, we saw, you know, obviously Bianca 3 years ago win in Toronto, then go on to win the U.S. Open, beating Serena Williams in an incredible run. Last year, we saw Leila Fernandez arrive on the scene and get to a U.S. Open final in electric fashion. And this year, of course, Leila, you know, bows out early in her home National Open. What do you make of that? The idea that sometimes these phenoms show up on the scene and it's not always a straight ascent to the top.
Yeah, well, like, what did we learn from Jeannie Bouchard a few years ago in 2014, where she had arguably the greatest tennis season of any Canadian to date, making two Grand Slam semifinals, Wimbledon final as well, and even the fourth round at the U.S. Open. So that overall, in terms of the strength of 1 year, was phenomenal, and she wasn't able to back that up, of course. So Leila Annie Fernandez, you know, we can't blame her. She was off for just over 2 months since the French Open with a fractured foot, which is not some small-time injury either. So this was her first tournament back since that injury back in May. So I think we can forgive her as well. She's only 19 years old. But there's other Canadians coming up the pipeline too. Like, the talent is there in our country. We are a tennis nation now. We are going to be competing for Grand Slams for years to come with this young crew, between Dennis and Félix on the men's side, Bianca, Leila Annie on the women's, and a couple others too, hopefully. So I think Canadian tennis fans, despite a tournament that didn't go exactly how we wanted, I think there's a lot of reason for optimism here.
Well, if we're just putting a bow on the post-mortem of the Canadians at these two tournaments, Mike, what do we say about Chapo? He's had Shapovalov has had some real struggles this year, including losing in the first round in Montreal. What do you make of that, and what's the prognosis for what ails him?
Hey, look, I'm good at finding silver linings, but not with this one, because the Chapo train is off the rails. He's one win in his last 11 matches going back to the spring. He looks totally out of sorts. He ditched his coach earlier in the year, Jamie Delgado, who used to work with Andy Murray, a very well-respected coach. And with Chapo, I don't know, like, mom's always on the scene with him, and I just wonder if that's not really compatible with outside coaches. He's working with Peter Polansky now, who was, you know, sort of a mid-level professional player outside the top 100. I don't think that's the answer for a player of Dennis's talent. It's between the ears, and he hasn't figured it out or taken the right steps to figure it out this year, unfortunately.
You know, Mike, listening to you speak, I was just sort of going over, and really, you always go back to Bianca winning over Serena at the U.S. Open. You know, that was just a marvelous accomplishment, and really, it whets the appetite. You want more, and you realize it's not quite that easy. There's different stories for each of these players. There's different injuries. There's different decisions, and it's just, it makes you understand how difficult it is and how we should honor those that win those Grand Slams year after year. That's a remarkable story, isn't it?
Well, yeah, when you look at Serena Williams, who's going to be retiring soon with 23 majors, and then Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, Novak Djokovic, who between the three of them have won like 95% of the majors over the last 13 or 14 years, it's just mind-boggling stuff. We're likely never going to see that kind of domination again, and I wonder how tennis is going to sort of bounce back after those legends retire in the next few years, led with Serena, who's going out in New York in a few weeks. There are young faces coming along, Coco Gauff in particular on the women's side, and our two Canadians who I mentioned. On the men's side, you know, could it be a Dennis or Felix? That remains to be seen. But tennis is going to have to do a great job of marketing these stars. And there's that Netflix series coming out next year, which is kind of modeled after the F1 show, Drive to Survive. And I wonder what that will do to bring some of these new personalities to the forefront of the sporting world.
So, Mike, obviously never a great thing for tournament organizers when you don't have any homegrown talent left in the draw. But if you're trying to sell some tickets here at the National Bank Open, either in Montreal or Toronto, you know, how do you pitch it? What's your pitch to come on down and watch what remains of the field?
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge for them, I guess. Probably not as much in Toronto. We've got Simona Halep, who was world number one a couple of years ago, Wimbledon winner as well, and Belinda Bencic in the draw, who's a fantastic player from Switzerland, who won the National Bank Open in 2015 here in Toronto. The Montreal draw is really hurting in terms of name recognition, because even Nick Kyrgios, you know, love him or hate him, Nick Kyrgios went out today too, and that guy sells tickets like nobody else on the men's tour besides the big three. So all I can say is, if you've never seen professional tennis before, it only comes around at this level once a year in Canada. We haven't had a full open capacity tournament in 3 years because of the pandemic. And the ticket prices are pretty reasonable compared to other team sporting events in our city in Toronto and Montreal. I've had buddies from my tennis club in Mimico who've come up this week with me to catch it, and friends who aren't tennis fans, and they've just said, hey, this is really something else. I'm coming back for sure. So you won't be disappointed. You can get up close. There's not a bad seat in the stadium. And, yeah, every year doesn't work out that you've got that Federer-Nadal final or Serena against Bianca Andreescu.
Right.
Mike, let's go back to Serena's announcement earlier this week. I'm always a big fan of I can anoint anybody the best of their time, and I sort of leave it at that. I don't like to do the era comparables because one creates the other. I mean, how would you describe clearly the best of her time and really, I guess, elevated the tour by herself, obviously with her sister as well, but she did a lot of the heavy lifting, didn't she?
On the court and off the court, in terms of exposure for tennis in the United States, in North America, and how many, you know, young black kids picked up a tennis racket because they saw Serena Williams. Coco Gauff said that this week in press. She said, when I saw Serena doing it and I saw someone who looked like me, I thought that might be me one day too. And she's well on her way, on the cusp of the top 10 right now. So immeasurable in terms of that impact off the court. And on the court, just legendary kind of stuff, both in singles, in doubles. And there were periods of time where Serena didn't play, either because of injury or other interest that kind of captured her imagination. My goodness, if she had played through all that time, how many slams would she have then? So it's going to be sad to see her go, but she's turning 41 years old next month. And for those of us like me over 40, it doesn't get any easier when you're competing even in a rec league, let alone as a professional athlete at that level.
So, Mike, if you're handicapping these series, like we've heard, obviously F1 made a lot of hay off Drive to Survive and got a lot of new fans, especially in North America, for their sport. We know you talked about the tennis tours doing a similar show. We know the PGA Tour is trying to do a similar show. If you're handicapping, who has a better chance of really sort of capitalizing on the success, or maybe lack thereof, of that show, but let's say that will be successful, who do you like there of the two country club sports, tennis and golf? Who do you think is going to have the upper hand in terms of the inner drama that will unfold?
Well, I'm quite biased, so you're probably asking the wrong person, because I've been a tennis fan since I was a little kid, and my dad would bring me out to Cherry Park in Montreal. And my golf game, well, let's just not even go there. So I'm just going to say I'm hopeful that the tennis show will show the sport in a positive light, that it'll bring people to the table. I mean, when I saw that first episode of Drive to Survive a couple years ago, I said immediately, oh, my God, tennis got to do this, because it's compelling. The drama off the court, the player personalities, that's what's going to sell the game and bring people to see the tennis, of course. So I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. There's going to be 8 men and 8 women who are followed on this program. And I've heard that Leila Annie Fernandez is one of the females. So there is some Canadian content there, too.
Mike, thanks very much. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. Have a great day, guys.